welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden era. Mark Levenier, your host for an hour of Westerns. Later on, it's Gunsmoke from 1954. But first, a broadcast of The Frontier Gentleman called The Preacher, a CBS episode from October 19th, 1958.
Deadwood in Dakota Territory. I saw the beginning of winter and the end of a man.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
I've seen him several times in Deadwood, a tall, lean, almost cadaverous-looking man wearing a black frock coat, shiny with age, and trousers which were fraying at the knees. He would walk through the streets, lips moving in soundless words, seemingly oblivious of the turmoil and bustle surrounding him. It was a few days before my departure from Deadwood that I met him, and then, under rather unusual circumstances. I had gone to the gunsmith, Mr. Josiah Mellett, who was repairing some defect in my gun.
Good morning, Mr. Kendall.
Good morning, Mr. Mellett. Is my gun ready?
Yes, sir. It was the Paul spring was mostly the trouble. I replaced the mainspring, too. She was a mite on the weak side. I smoothed the action down some, like you ask. Want to see how she feels?
Yes, very good, Mr. Mellett. Thank you.
Don't see many of those double-action Frontiers. Kind of new on the market. How do you like it?
Very much. Good weight and quite accurate. Oh, I'll need some cartridges.
Box?
Two, I think.
So you're pulling out of Deadwood, eh?
In a couple of days.
Going east?
As far as the Missouri. I'll be taking the boat down to St. Louis.
I'd sure like to see that old town again. Been more than 15 years since I was there.
Oh.
Will there be anything else, Mr. Kendall?
No, I don't think so, thank you. How much do I owe you?
Let me see now.
I wish to purchase the gun.
Yeah, be with you in a minute, mister.
Please, there's no time. I must have it now.
As soon as I'm through.
You don't understand. There's a man looking for me. He'll kill me.
No, he won't. Not in here, he won't.
You can see
I don't allow shooting in my place. Not with all this black powder around. No, sir.
Please.
Now, you just take it easy, mister.
It's all right, Mr. Mellett. I don't mind waiting.
Thank you, sir.
Say you want a gun. What kind of a gun?
It doesn't matter. Something with which I can protect myself.
And, mister, you take my advice. You go on up to the marshal's office. Tell him what's what, and he'll give you protection.
No, I wish to buy a weapon.
If you're not used to shooting, it won't do you much good. Mr. Mellett's right.
He's out there waiting for me now. When I leave here, he'll kill me.
Who?
It doesn't matter. I beg you to sell me a gun.
Look here. I think Mr. Mellett's idea is the best. Let me walk with you to the marshal's office.
It wouldn't do any good. You don't know this man. He'll stop at nothing.
Well, I don't mind taking the chance. It's quite possible if he sees you with someone, he won't be as anxious to start shooting.
Yeah, good advice, if you ask me. Mister, you're as good as dead if you try throwing lead against a man who knows guns. You wouldn't have a chance.
If you'll just wait a moment while I load.
$3 will about do it, Mr. Kendall.
Right.
Sure, hope you have a nice trip. You can come back this way, stop by.
Yes, I will.
Well, smells like we're going to have an early winter. You won't be missing much if we do. It surely can whistle up a mean freeze around here.
Yes, so I've heard. There. $3?
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Yeah. Much obliged.
Thank you, Mr. Mellett.
You know where the marshal's office is at?
Yes, thank you. Goodbye, Mr. Mellett.
Don't mind if I watch from the door, do you?
No, not at all.
see him?
Yes. Across the street.
Ah. Yes.
So long.
Thanks again, Mr. Mellon. And do you mind my asking why he wants to kill you?
It's a thing that happened some years ago, a private matter.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr.
Yorby. Thomas Yorby. I'm
Yorby.
Very grateful to you, Mr. Kendall, isn't it?
Yes.
The marshal can't help me. Nobody can. Sooner or later, he'll do it. He'll find me, kill me. He swore he would.
Slow down, Mr. Yorby. He's crossing over. Now, listen to me. If he starts shooting, lie down.
Morning, preacher. Said your prayers today?
What do you want?
What do you think? You mind standing to one side, mister? I've come a long way to kill this fella.
He's not armed.
Doesn't matter, none. Get out of the way.
I don't like murder.
Me neither. But shooting the preacher ain't murder. It's a kindness.
Well, I hate to meddle in a private affair, but Mr. Yorby asked for protection. I feel bound to see him safely to the marshal's office.
I got no quarrel with you.
Nor I with you. But I'm not letting you shoot an unarmed man.
I won't take no chances swapping shots with you, mister. You might just be good enough to beat me. I got too much to live for. You're lucky, preacher. You're lucky you talked this fella into helping you. But he better stay almighty close to your side, because when you're alone, I'm coming looking for you. And next time, I'll get you.
Chrysler Corporation.
The car that can do in 59, that can do what they look like they can do. They're the cars of the forward look. 59, they can do more than other cars can do. For you, drive the car that can do. Drive the car that can do.
Plymouth?
Can do.
Dodge?
Can do.
DeSoto?
Can do.
Chrysler?
Can do.
Imperial?
Can do. The cars that can do in 59, that can do what they look like they can do. They're the cars of the forward look. 59, they can do more than other cars can do. For you.
See the new Plymouth and the new Dodge at your dealers now. See the new DeSoto, Chrysler, and Imperial Friday, October 24th. The cars that can do.
For you.
The stranger was a man of somewhat slight stature, hair graying. As he walked away, I noticed that he had a limp. Then he disappeared into a saloon. My companion, Thomas Yorby, passed a shaking hand across his face.
It would have been better to have had done with it.
Let him kill you.
I'm tired, Mr. Kendall. He'll keep his word. There'll be no rest. No peace for either of us.
Let the marshal take care of it.
No, it's useless. He can't arrest the man for something he hasn't yet done.
But what are you going to do?
Wait for him to find me again.
Why not leave Deadwood? Go somewhere else.
It'd be the same wherever I went. He'll follow. Sooner or later, he'll find me.
Listen to me, Mr. Yorby. I don't know what you've done, but I shan't sleep very well at night unless I do my best to see you're not murdered. I shall be leaving myself in a couple of days. If you wish, you can share my hotel room and travel with me to Fort Pier.
You have no reason to do that. For all you know, he may have every right to want to kill me.
That's possible. But in the meantime, we better get you off the street before he changes his mind and shoots us both in the back. I thought you were asleep.
No.
Mr. Yorby, There's one thing I should like to know. That man called you preacher. Are you a minister?
I was.
Ah.
His name is Boyd Greer. I married his sister. She died in Hayes City. He blamed me for it. That was 5 years ago.
You say you were a minister?
After the death of my wife, I could no longer preach the gospel. When she was lost to me, I lost faith. I cared about nothing.
Why does Greer blame you?
He was against my taking her to Hayes. It was a rough town. I wanted to preach there. She insisted upon going with me. There was trouble with shooting. She died.
And he blamed you for that?
After her death, I left Hayes, wandering, finding enough work to keep myself alive. But wherever I went, always the knowledge that he was looking for me. Now he's found me.
And there's nothing else?
Yes. It's the thing that keeps me from sleeping in the night. The knowledge that the shooting could have been prevented.
How did she die?
Years ago, there was a young man who had come out of the war knowing only how to kill. He joined other young men who had the same emptiness of purpose. They drifted to Arizona Territory and on north into Kansas. The young man was called the Terrigo Kid. He knew how to use a gun. The others followed him. Then one day he heard an old man, a preacher. He heard the words, and he knew that his life was meaningless. He threw away the gun. He swore never to use it again. He studied with that old man, and he learned about good. He became a preacher and met a woman who loved him.
You were the Terrigo Kid.
In Hayes City, I was with my wife preaching in a saloon. She had a sweet voice. Sang the hymns. Then somebody recognized me. There were words. It happened so quickly. A gun was put into my hand and there was shooting. When it was finished, the man who knew me was dead, and she was dead too. I threw down the gun and ran away.
Does Greer know about the Terrigo Kid?
He found out.
When you came to the gunsmith shop to buy a gun, you were going to kill him?
I couldn't. I knew I couldn't. That's why I let you talk me out of it.
If you had a gun?
He would be dead now. I'd rather die myself than that.
Stay here.
Where are you going?
To find Greer.
He won't listen to you. Why should he?
I don't know, but he might.
It's better if I face him myself alone and stop running. I've sinned. I used to think that turning to the Bible would cleanse me, but how could it? I have yet to complete payment for my sins. Perhaps my death will be an atonement.
I don't think so. Will you stay in the room?
All right, Mr. Kendall. I'll stay.
I left the hotel and walked back to Main Street to where I'd seen Greer go into the saloon. I found him there, sitting at a table in a dark corner, staring moodily into a glass of whiskey.
Is he hiring guns now?
No. I came to talk.
I have nothing to say to you.
Are you drunk?
No. I can't get drunk.
If you kill him, will it bring back your sister?
She'll rest easy.
Will you?
He lied. Coming into the house, that oily tongue, preaching about God, and all the time knowing what he'd been, what he was.
Man can change.
Not him. My sister was a nice girl. Pretty. She could have married a decent man, had kids. She could be alive today. He killed her as sure as if he shot her himself. Taking her to Hayes. Throwing lead.
Yes, he told me about it. Maybe he wasn't to blame.
You finished what you come to say?
He was going to buy a gun and shoot it out with you. He didn't.
Gunshy.
No. He says he could kill you in a gunfight. I'm inclined to believe that he could.
You'll never get the chance.
Seems to me you're taking a lot on yourself, sitting in judgment.
There isn't anybody else to do it. The law won't.
The law might be more just.
The law is wrong.
And what does the law say about a man who kills in cold blood?
It's execution. There's the difference.
All right. Now I'll tell you something. I don't think you'll do it.
Don't you push me too hard, mister. I might take my chances with you first.
I'll make it easy for you. He's in my hotel room. I'll take you there. I won't interfere. If you think you can pull the trigger, do so. I say you won't, because you know it'll be murder, and they'll hang you for it.
You lead the way, mister.
The sky was overcast as we walked up the main street of Deadwood to the hotel. There was a chill in the air, and the steep slopes on either side of the road closed in over us, oppressive, dark. After talking to Greer, seeing him, I had reasoned that in my presence he would not kill his brother-in-law, even if given the chance. It was a risk, but the risk of allowing the two men to meet alone was greater. We walked down the shadowy hallway to my room.
Where is he?
Well, I left him here.
You make a move for your gun, mister, and I'll kill you. You and the preacher, mighty fancy play you're making.
There's no trick. I thought he'd be here.
Maybe he stepped out, huh? Then he'll come in and plug me in the back. All right. Just wait. When he shows his face in that door, I'm going to blow it off for him.
We waited. 10 minutes. 20. An hour. There was no sound. Through the window, I could see a few flakes of snow drifting down through the trees. It was cold in the room. Then I heard steps outside in the hallway. Greer heard them, too. Motioned to me for silence.
Come on in, preacher. Funny thing. I've been sitting here kind of savoring the time when you'd come through that door and I'd put a bullet in your head. Now you're here, I want to watch your face. I want to hear you howl before I do it. Your pal. He figured to get me in here so you and him could finish me off, huh?
Shoot. Get it over with.
No hurry. No hurry at all. Where you been?
I went down to the stage station. But I knew I could never run far enough. So I came back.
Where you want it, preacher?
If it'll give you pleasure. Shoot me where it'll hurt, so you can hear me scream.
It hurt when she was killed. Why shouldn't it hurt you?
Don't talk anymore. Do it and let me go in peace.
There won't be any peace for you, not even when you're dead.
You can't have any power over that, boy.
You shut that dirty mouth of yours, you hear?
I'm not afraid now. I know the wrongs I've done. I know it was my fault she died, so go on. Shoot! Shoot!
Shut up! You hear me? I won't listen to that stinking, greasy lip of yours like preaching to me, you hear?
Just know this one thing, Boyd. I could have killed you if I'd wanted to carry a gun. I didn't. I don't have to listen anymore. Now shoot or get out.
Next one I don't miss.
I've had enough of this.
You get back where you belong.
Put away the gun or I'm going to take it from you.
I'm telling you.
Put it away.
All this time. All this time.
Waste of time.
I've wanted to kill him. Couldn't think of nothing else.
Listen to me, boy. I'll never be able to forget. I loved her. Because of me, she's dead. I think I'm sorry you didn't shoot me. then I wouldn't have to remember.
Then that's good. That's a good thing. Mister, I'm obliged to you. I'm much obliged. I ain't looking for you no more, preacher. You walk alone now. And you remember my sister. You remember what you done to her.
Thomas Yorby stood looking at the door for a moment. Then, without a word, he opened it and went out. I watched from my window and saw the tall figure with head bent go out into the cold street. Threadbare, shiny coat. He walked away and was lost in a swirl of snowflakes.
If it's new, Plymouth's got it.
Got it.
The 59 Plymouth's got it if it's new.
If it's new, if it's new.
The 59 Plymouth is at your Plymouth dealers now. It's new, it's wonderful, and it's here. New styling to make your heart sing. Plymouth for 59 has that fine car look. New Fury models at new lower prices. New swivel seats. Swing you in when you enter. Swing you out when you leave. New push-button heater, world's simplest temperature control. New Golden Commando V8, biggest engine in the low-price field. New Miramatic mirror, new automatic headlight dimmer, new sport deck, new everything. See the completely new 59 Plymouth. Drive the completely new 59 Plymouth at your Plymouth dealers now.
Frontier Gentleman was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Waldo Epperson, Richard Perkins, and Ray Wood. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentleman. Bud Sewell speaking.
The Frontier Gentleman, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 19th of October, 1958, on CBS. This is an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for an episode of Gunsmoke, with an episode that was later seen on television on Christmas Day, 1955, with a different title called Twelfth Night. It's Feud, first heard on CBS Radio on May 29th, 1954.
And in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke. Starring William Conrad, the transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America, the story of a man who moved with it, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Mr. Dillon, come over here at the window and take a look at this fella.
I'm busy, Chester.
Yes, sir, I know, but you just gotta. Well, he's the doggonest thing you ever saw. Please, Mr. Dillon, before he goes away.
Well, I can't write while you're talking.
Look at there. See? In the coonskin hat across the street there? Why, he looks to be 8 feet tall.
That's because he's so skinny.
And that long rifle. Looks like a fish pole. How's he going to shoot buffalo with that?
He's a squirrel hunter, Chester. That's a southern mountain man.
You know, that fellow he's talking to now is pointing this way. Oh, here he comes.
Howdy.
Hello. Well, come on in.
Be you the... what you call him?
Oh, the marshal?
I'm against schools and education. Never heard nothing called marshal.
I'm a peace officer.
I'm a country man. I'm again towns, too, and jailhouses.
Well, so am I, but sometimes they're necessary.
No, they ain't. No more than the law is. It ain't fitting for some folks to be meddling in other folks' business.
Oh? Well, where do they figure it like that, stranger? The Ozark Mountains?
Better country than this. My name's Luke Humbird.
Mine's Dillon. This is Chester Proudfoot.
How do you do?
I knowed a fella called Proudfoot once.
That so?
Yeah.
Well, there ain't too many of us. It might be a relation of some kind.
All I remember is how he crimped up every time I kicked him in the belly.
He did?
Marshal, man outside said you'd help me find where Hank Witherspoon's living.
Witherspoon?
Yeah.
Oh, the one who came out here about a year ago?
He's got an old mountain gal with him. They're married.
Sure, I know them. They got a place up near Rock Springs, about 10 miles north of here.
What kind of place?
Oh, just a shack and a patch of corn, as I remember.
I'll find it.
Well, you come a long way to see your friends, Humbird.
Witherspoon ain't exactly a friend, Marshal. I got to get going. It's being Saturday and all.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
What are you talking about?
Nothing. Except I won't kill no man on a Sunday, Marshal. I never have, and I never will.
Think Humbird meant what he said, Mr. Dillon?
He's too mountain simple to lie, Chester.
Yes. Hey, look, there's Ms. Witherspoon now, out in the corn patch.
Yeah, I guess it'd be polite to stop and say hello to her first. Come on. Hello. Hello, Ms. Witherspoon.
Howdy, Marshal. You too, Chester.
Sorry, ma'am.
Poorly. Hank's done healed it into Dodge, Marshal. Don't you know today's Saturday?
Oh, what's Saturday got to do with it?
Every Saturday, Hank's in Dodge. He don't come back till Sunday night.
Well, that's funny. I don't recall seeing him in town much.
He's got his ways, Hank has. He goes to town, but he ain't too sociable.
I see. Ms. Witherspoon, do you and Hank know a man called Luke Humbird?
Humbird? Don't say his name around us, Marshal.
Are there trouble between you?
Trouble? Marshal, Hank's only Witherspoon left, and Luke's only Humbird. Both families been whittled down to just them two.
Oh, a feud, huh?
Their grandpa started it. Now there's only one man left on each side.
Well, don't you think it's gone far enough?
Hank or Humbird. Either one of them could call it off, only they're both too muley for that.
Well, didn't Hank come out here to, get away from it?
Of course not. He's always talking about going back long enough to kill Luke Humbird.
How'd this feud start, ma'am?
Well, they say Hank's grandpa stopped by the Humbirds one day, and they asked him to set and eat. He did. Dinner was slow cooking, and he got to hollering about it. Sat there pounding on the table with his knife just a-faunching and a-slavering for his victuals until Luke Humbird's grandpa, he took offense and told women not to feed him at all. He went off mad. They've been feuding ever since.
Well, forever. You mean they're still fighting over that?
Of course they are. Where'd you see Luke Humbird?
Oh, he was in Dodge asking about Hank.
That's bad, Marshal. Hank don't even know he's around.
Well, that's why I came out here.
Hank ought to be told. He's better shot than Humbird any day.
Look, Miss Witherspoon, the law doesn't recognize a feud as justification for murder. If one of them kills the other, he's going to hang for it.
I never hear tell of no such law, Marshal. You're making that up.
No, it's true, Miss Witherspoon. I've warned Humbird, and I'm going to warn Hank.
They'll shoot you. You start meddling.
These people just don't understand nothing, Mr. Dillon.
I'm worried about Hank. He'll be drunk soon as it's dark.
Oh, well, I'll find him. Goodbye, ma'am.
You better find him, Marshal. He'll get killed, sure, if you don't.
Yeah. Come on, Chester.
Are hill people all like that, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, they're mighty independent, Chester.
They're mighty crazy, if you ask me. Why, it's like they don't even hear what you're saying.
Well, I guess anything to do with the law is a new experience for them. Now, look over there, Chester.
Huh?
By that little bluff over to your right there.
Well, how'd he get out here?
Well, let's go ask him. Hello, Humbird.
That Witherspoon's place, Marshal.
You don't care whether you hang or not, do you?
For shooting the Witherspoon?
For shooting anybody.
Marshal, you're getting downright contrary.
Humbird, why don't you take that squirrel rifle and go on back home?
Because it ain't no squirrel rifle, that's why. This here is a human rifle, Marshal.
Oh, there's no use even talking to him, Mr. Dillon.
Where's your horse, Humbird? How did you get out here, anyway?
I come afoot. I don't need no horse to travel by.
You mean you walked all the way from the Ozarks?
Tain't far. When they's Witherspoon awaiting at the end of it.
Maybe I ought to just throw you in jail for a while.
Then nobody get killed, Marshal. At least not till I got out again. But you're being awful meddlesome. I gotta get closer to that house. So long. Now, don't worry. I don't aim to shoot his old lady.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
Maybe it'd be better if you just let them shoot each other and have done with it.
Don't tempt me, Chester. Well, let's go find Witherspoon. Go ask Sam if he's seen Witherspoon, Chester.
All right, sir.
Hello, Matt.
How are you, kitty?
Well, things have been pretty quiet around here for Saturday night.
Well, I'm not complaining about it.
The Santa Fe agent told me there's a big Texas herd due to be shipped out of here in a couple of days.
Well, those boys will liven things up for you.
Yeah, for you, too, I expect. Where you been, Matt? It's pretty near midnight.
Kitty, I've been trying to stop a feud.
A feud?
Yeah.
What kind of feud?
An old one. There's only one man left on each side.
It's been a long time since I've heard of a feud around Dodge.
Well, this one kind of got transplanted from the Ozark.
Oh. Say, don't tell me that crazy Hank Witherspoon's mixed up in it.
I've been trying to find him all evening. You know where he hides out?
I bet you a dollar he's right out back, Matt.
What?
Regular as clockwork. Every Saturday night he comes in carrying a long rifle and buys a bottle of corn from Sam and takes it out back and drinks it. All alone, as far as I know. He just sits there looking at the moon and drinking his whiskey. Never causes any trouble, huh?
Well, no wonder I never see him around.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, I know, Chester. Kitty just told me. Go see if he's there. Bring him in, will you?
Yes, sir.
Who's he feuding with, Matt?
A fellow by the name of Luke Humbird.
I never heard of him.
He just arrived today on foot.
On foot?
Yeah, he's all legs, Kitty. A real traveling man.
Well, if he's anything like as weird as Hank Witherspoon, you've got a problem on your hands.
Yeah, I know.
Here he is, Mr. Dillon. I made him leave his rifle outside.
Hello, Hank.
What do you want with me, Marshal? I don't like it all cooped up in here.
Hank, Luke Humbird is looking for you.
Humbirds and the Witherspoons been looking for each other nigh on to 40 years, Marshal. They most all got found.
How drunk are you, Hank?
Well, Marshal, my old woman won't allow no drinking on the police, so I got to come into town every Saturday.
Hank Witherspoon.
It's Humbird, Mr. Dillon.
I got you caught like a bar up a tree, Hank.
Down that rifle, Humbird.
Is it going to kill me? I ain't even got my gun.
Put it down, I said.
Get out of the way, Marshal. I'll shoot you, too, if you don't.
Now, you listen to me.
Hey, wait a minute, everybody. I just thought of something.
Why don't all you folks stop meddling in this?
It's after midnight, Humbird.
What?
It's Sunday.
Sunday? Oh, no.
Yeah, he's right, Humbird.
Well, of all the gall-blamed luck. Now I'll have to put off killing you, Hank. I won't shoot a man on Sunday. Even a Witherspoon.
Well, of course you won't. Hey, Luke, you sure traveled a long way.
Well, I got tired waiting for you to come back home.
I was figuring coming back this summer for a spell. Alone.
I know. I seen your old lady scratching around in that corn patch. She said she ain't never going back, hard as it is here.
Oh, well, fellers can make a crop here sometimes, Luke.
Yeah.
But it's a hard fight with a short stick.
You got no hogs out there. Where are your hogs, Hank?
I'll be getting some. Oh. Hey, Luke, I'll tell you something.
What?
I got me a little jug out back. It's most empty now, but we could maybe buy us another one and set out there for a spell and kind of get soured on the cob.
We might as well. We can't do no shooting till Monday. Where do we buy this whiskey?
I'll show you. Feller over here, he sells it.
You'll have to lend me some money, Hank.
Sure.
I didn't bring none with me.
Well, if that don't beat all.
Matt, why don't you put them in a cage and send them back where they came from?
I'd like to, Kitty.
People here are getting quite a kick out of this.
Yeah, I know. Those two hillbillies are making me look like a fool, and I don't know what to do about it. Handling them's about as easy as trying to stop it from raining. Well, I'm going to bed.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, Listen, Young Lovers is the title of Monday night's drama on Suspense on CBS Radio, starring Robert Wagner and Mona Freeman. Don't miss Suspense and one of its greatest productions, Listen, Young Lovers, on most of the Stars Address stations Monday night. Now, the second act,
of Gunsmoke.
Around? He went across the street for a beer, Doc. He ought to be back soon.
Well, it can wait till morning. Well, Matt, I've been hearing all day about your feuding mountaineers.
Yeah, they've been drunk all day, lying around out back of the Texas Trail. The shooting won't start till midnight.
Oh, you're going to let them go ahead with it?
And I've about decided to throw them in jail. Give me time to think of some way to get rid of them.
Well, that's a good idea, Matt. Now, people are saying that this is the first time you've run into something that you can't handle.
Yeah, they're kind of enjoying it, too.
I'll bet they are.
Yeah, and all over a couple of crazy... What's that?
That was a rifle shot, Doc, a long-barreled human rifle. Now, you might as well come along.
I thought they were against shooting each other on Sunday, Matt.
I thought they were, too, Doc. Maybe they got so drunk they forgot.
Yeah, but it sure looks that way.
Now, watch your step, Doc. It's pretty dark back here.
Over here, Mr. Dillon. Yeah.
If Humbird got shot, I was right inside when I heard it.
Oh, that's over here. Here, let me take a look at it.
What's the matter with Hank, Chester? He looks like he's been shot, too.
Too much corn whiskey, I guess.
Yeah. Scoop some water out of that rain barrel there and throw it on him, huh?
What's that you're doing now, Luke?
Give him some more, Chester.
Okay. Oh! Hey, now, stop that. I just... You're making me all wet.
Hey, Matt, this man over here is still alive. Let's get him over to my office.
Give Doc a hand there, a couple of you men, huh?
Luke, huh? Where at my rifle?
I got your rifle right here, Hank.
Did you shoot him, Hank?
Well, sure. I was aiming to, I guess.
How could you shoot him if you were passed out?
Well, I don't know, Marshal. We got pretty drunk.
I thought neither of you would shoot a man on Sunday.
Well, no, of course not.
Why did you, then?
You mean it's still Sunday?
Hank, I don't believe you did this.
Marshal, you quit messing around. I'll shoot you next.
Chester.
Yeah?
Throw him in jail. I'm going to take a look around.
Jail? I ain't going to jail.
Come on, get moving, Hank.
No.
Come on, I'll poke this rifle right through.
Quit that.
Well, then start walking.
If you put me in jail, I'll just bust right out again.
Oh, no, you won't. Not if I have to break your leg.
Who's that? All right, hold it right there. Hold it or I'll shoot. All right, that's better. Now get your hands up. Well, I'll be...
I ain't armed, Marshal.
Put your hands down, Ms. Witherspoon.
What are you chasing me for? I'm a woman, Marshal.
Come along, ma'am. I'll put you in the same cell with your husband.
Well, I just give them their breakfast, Mr. Dillon.
Hello, Doc. Morning, Kissett.
How's Luke Humbird doing?
Well, I was just telling Matt. It's like shooting a bullet through water with that man. Oh, he's not about to die.
Yeah, that's good news,
I guess.
Well, I'm going to talk to the Witherspoon. You two waiting here, huh? Morning, Hank. Ma'am?
Morning, Marshal.
You come on out to our place someday, Marshal. I'll cook you a better breakfast than you give us here.
Thanks, ma'am. But it might be a long time before you go home.
I've been trying to explain things to Hank, Marshal.
Oh?
He's still arguing he shot Luke Humbird. But even he don't believe it.
You're admitting that you did?
Of course I did. You know it. Hank is too drunk.
Humbird's all right. He's going to live. But you'll still have to stand trial for attempted murder, Miss Witherspoon.
Judge ain't going to do nothing to a woman.
What'd you go do it for anyways? Shooting is a man's job.
I got to thinking, that's why. I'm worrying.
About what?
About you being too drunk to fight come Monday. When I seen you laying around out back there, I knowed I was right, so I took your rifle and shot him.
Don't you know if you'd killed Humbird and I hadn't caught you, Hank would hang for this?
You're still saying that, Marshal.
Oh, don't pay him no mind, woman. Hey, Marshal, when you gonna let me out of here?
So you can go shoot Luke Humbird? No, you're staying here, Hank.
You can't keep him locked up, Marshal.
Yes, I can.
No. It's all a mistake. I didn't have to shoot Luke at all.
What?
Well, the reason they got so drunk was they were celebrating.
Celebrating what?
They decided to call the feud off, Marshal. Both of them at the same time. Luke Humbird's going to come out, go to work for Hank. He's going to live on the place. They got it all figured out. They was too drunk to tell me.
Ms. Witherspoon.
Huh?
I'll go talk to the judge. If you'll do me a favor, huh?
What, sure, Marshal?
Go on home and take Hank with you. And I'll send Humbert out as soon as he's well enough to travel. And keep him out of Dodge, will you? Please. Both of them.
Sure, I will. Come on, Hank. Your drinking days is over.
Gunsmoke, transcribed under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, John Daner, and Lawrence Dubkin. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Here's a tip. Make it a safe, sane holiday weekend all the way. Let the drivers in Indianapolis take the only chances anyone takes this entire holiday weekend. And say, don't forget CBS Radio will bring you Memorial Day night, an exclusive program of Indianapolis Drills. That's Monday night on most of these same stations. Roy Rowan speaking. Lionel Barrymore's Radio Hall of Fame is great Sunday night drama on the CBS Radio Network.
Gunsmoke, untuned to yesterday from May 29th, 1954 on CBS. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of Westerns, untuned to yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.